Have you ever heard the King's Sermon? You know, you probably have, but before we talk about it, because this is what we're going to talk about tonight, we're going to talk about the King's Sermon. But before we talk about it, let's read together in Daniel chapter 3, starting in verse 1, and Joel, he's going to read that for us.
Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, the height of which was 60 cubits, and its width 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent word to assemble the satraps, the prefects and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, and the magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces were assembled for the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "To you the command is given, O peoples, nations, and men of every language, that at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, bagpipe, and all kinds of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire." Therefore, at that time, when all the peoples heard the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, bagpipe, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. For this reason, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and brought charges against the Jews. They responded and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, and bagpipe, and all kinds of music, is to fall down and worship the golden image. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have disregarded you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and anger, gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now if you are ready, at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, and bagpipe, and all the kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, very well. But if you do not worship, you will be immediately cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve the gods, your gods, or worship the golden image that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and his facial expression was altered toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He answered by giving orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. He commanded certain valiant warriors who were in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to cast them into the furnace of blazing fire. Then these men were tied up in their trousers, their coats, their caps, and their other clothes, and were cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. For this reason, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace had been made extremely hot, the flame of the fire slew those men who carried up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire, still tied up. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and stood up in haste. He said to his high officials, "Was it not three men we cast bound into the midst of the fire?" They replied to the king, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see four men loosed and walking around in the midst of the fire without harm, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the furnace of the blazing fire. He responded and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out, you servants of the Most High God, and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire. The satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's high officials gathered around and saw in regard to these men that the fire had no effect on the bodies of these men, nor was the hair of their heads singed, nor were their trousers damaged, nor had the smell of the fire even come upon them.
Well, thanks, Joel, for reading that for us. You did a good job. You know, if you want to just finish up the lesson, you can. My notes are up here. No, I'm kidding. You know, Joel did a good job reading that, and it's really an amazing story. Story about how King Nebuchadnezzar set up this golden image. And if you ask me why he set it up, it's my speculation that. But if you remember in the previous chapter, well, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, right? He had this dream of this statue, and it was made of four different elements, right? The head of gold, and the chest and shoulders of silver, and the belly and thigh of bronze, and the legs of iron. And he didn't have anybody to tell him what the dream meant, but Daniel could. So Daniel tells him, "Well, king, you're the head of gold. But there's a kingdom that will come after you, and then there's a kingdom that will come after them and after them." And isn't it interesting that the statue that King Nebuchadnezzar made was a gold statue? Now, maybe King Nebuchadnezzar was trying to fight against the future that God had already foresaw. Maybe King Nebuchadnezzar was attempting to say, "Well, my kingdom is going to last forever. My golden kingdom is going to last forever." And he wanted everybody to bow down before this statue. But the three boys would not do that. And that showed bravery. Showed the bravery of the three boys, them standing firm for the truth, speaking truth to power. It also shows us some things about our God. The fact that our God is amazing, and he's not only willing to save his people, he is also able to save his people. Now, I mentioned earlier that we are going to talk about the King's Sermon today. And I mentioned that to a couple of people. I told Ruth that I'm going to be preaching about the King's Sermon. I told her brother the same thing. I told my mom, and all of them said, "Well, you're going to be talking about Matthew 5 through 7, sort of what Jeff talked a little bit about this morning." And I said, "Well, no, we're not going to be talking about Matthew 5. That is what you would think of, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. But that's not what we're going to be talking about. Here we're going to be talking about King Nebuchadnezzar's sermon, because he gives a powerful sermon at the end of the verses that Joel had read. You know, King Nebuchadnezzar, he had his ups and downs. And the beginning of the chapter, he was sort of in one of his low moments. But he makes up for it at around verse 28. So let's go ahead and read that. In this verse, King Nebuchadnezzar tells us exactly how people who want to follow God should live. And he gives a three-point sermon. Verse 28 of chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angels and delivered his servants, who, one, put their trust in him, two, violated the king's command, and three, yielded up their bodies so as not to serve or worship any god except their own." See, King Nebuchadnezzar, he gives a great three-point lesson that really we could all benefit from. So this is what we're going to talk about tonight. Now, before we jump into the lesson, I'd like to greet all the visitors. If you're visiting with us, we're glad that you're here today. You know, if you want, stick around, and we would be happy to get to know you a little bit better. Let's jump into the lesson here. First thing that King Nebuchadnezzar says in verse 28 with regards to his sermon, I like to say, is that the boys, the three boys,
Well, they trusted in God. You see, King Nebuchadnezzar, he was amazed at the trust of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But really, that doesn't surprise me at all. We should all be amazed at the trust that those three boys showed that day. Because ultimately, they really had reason to doubt the Lord when you think about it. Let's go back to the first chapter, and we're going to read the first six verses of Daniel. The first chapter and the first six verses. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God, and he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youths in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. Verse 5. The king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Now among them from the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And their names would eventually be changed to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You see here, we learned from this context that Daniel and his friends, well, they were taken from home, right? They were taken from where they were comfortable. God had given them over so that they could live in a land that was unknown to them and serve some pagan king. That's what God did to them. Now, I'm sure they had heard stories about all of the deeds that God has done for his people, all of the deeds that God had done for Israel. I'm sure they heard stories of Egypt and the miraculous wonders that God performed as he was bringing his people out of bondage. Sure, they heard stories of how the Israelites entered into the land of Canaan and the miraculous wonders that God had done. That same God, it seems, had forgotten about them. You see, even though these three boys might have thought, or might have had the right to think anyway, that God had forgotten about them, well, they still trusted in God. Let's look chapter 3 and verse 17 again. Chapter 3 and verse 17. And this is their answer to the king. Chapter 3 and verse 17. It says, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. You see, the boys, they had amazing trust in God. There are some important lessons for us also. Important lessons here for us. Well, first of all, things might not always go our way in life. Now, we learned this recently here after Harvey. You know, things didn't necessarily go as everyone had planned. Some people, they lost a lot of things and stressed them out. You know, I'm sure if they had to make a plan of their life, Harvey was not part of it. Sometimes, things in our life just don't go as planned. But in those times, we still need to trust in the Lord. You know, there'll be times where people get sick with some disease that changes their entire lives. What are we going to do in that time? Well, we still need to trust in God. There's an older lady that I know who had attended Dallin Road. And she had fallen victim to a scam. And she lost almost all of her retirement. That wasn't a part of her plan. But we are still called to trust God. Luckily, she was in contact with the police. And couple of weeks later, everything got resolved, and she got back most of the money that she lost. So things might not always go our way in life. In those times, we need to trust in the Lord. But also, trusting in God sometimes goes against every instinct that we have. You know, if I were standing in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's shoes, and I was looking at that furnace, for me to go in that furnace would go against every instinct that I have anyway. It's not only true of them. It's true of us also. Sometimes we're not necessarily going to understand or agree with the way the Lord wants things done. You know, an example for me would be church discipline. Withdrawing fellowship from someone. That goes against my instincts, me personally. But I am still called to trust in the Lord. You know, Nebuchadnezzar in his sermon, so to speak, he's exactly right. If we are serious about serving God, well, then we need to trust in him. That's not all Nebuchadnezzar says. Let's go back. Look at verse 28 again. Verse 28, he says, God delivered his servants who, one, put their trust in him, but two, who violated the king's commands. See, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, well, they decided to not listen to the king. That couldn't have been an easy decision for them. We talked about it in the last point about how they might have thought and how they had reason to doubt God. I don't imagine it was an easy decision for them to say, you know what, we're just not going to listen to the king. We're going to violate his commands. The interesting thing is King Nebuchadnezzar gives them a second chance. We see this in verse 13. Starting in verse 13. I'm going to go down to verse 16. Starting in verse 13, Daniel chapter 3, says, then Nebuchadnezzar in rage and anger gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, is it true that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I set up? Now, if you are ready, you see what King Nebuchadnezzar does? He's sort of giving them a second chance. Yeah, I personally think that King Nebuchadnezzar liked Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and that's why he's given them this second chance. You know, if you guys didn't understand the command the first time, you know, I'm going to explain it one more time. And just whenever you're ready, we're going to play the music again. And whenever you're ready, you can bow down and worship the statue. King Nebuchadnezzar gave them a second choice. And they still refused. Notice their response. Oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. They had made up their mind. Well, there are going to be times like we, there are going to be times in which we, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, must avoid listening to the voices around us. Because the world will tell us different ways about how we should live our lives, right? And there are going to be times where we can't listen to those voices. For instance, sometimes the world will say that we shouldn't have high moral expectations for young people, for our kids. You know, boys will be boys. They're going to live and learn. We shouldn't have high moral expectations. Just let them do their thing. You know, I hate that. I don't have kids or anything like that, but that is not how my parents raised me. You know, my parents, they had expectations of me. They wanted me to meet those expectations. And if I didn't, well, let me just say there were consequences. I'm going to just leave it at that. There were consequences. Right? The world tells us we shouldn't worry about things like that. I don't know. We should have high expectations for young people. As parents, you've got to teach your kids. And this isn't some foreign concept. This is biblical. Deuteronomy chapter 4, please. Or actually, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to start in verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 4, it reads, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These are the words which I am commanding you today, or these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontals on your foreheads. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." See, the Israelites were urged to teach their children the Lord's commands. Right? And not only that, not only teach and speak, but be an example to everybody in your house. You got to live it. See, the world may say, you don't need to have high expectations of young people, high moral expectations of young people. We don't need to listen to voices like that. We should have high expectations of young people. But you know, the world also tells us that we only need to care about ourselves, right? Reuben, just care about you. You do you so that you can make as much money as you can. You can get all of the things that you want that will make you happy. It doesn't matter how many people you step on. It doesn't matter how many rules you break. It doesn't matter if you have to set aside your morals or not. Get what you can out of this life because you only have one life. When the world tells us that, we can't listen to something like that. You know, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount tells us that we can't lay up treasures on earth. Why? Because they're going to be destroyed, right? Moth and rust destroy. Thieves, they break in and steal. He says, instead, lay up treasures where? In heaven. Because that's ultimately what's important. We need to be laying up treasures in heaven. We need to be doing the will of the Lord. Jesus tells us that we need to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. He tells us that we need to love our neighbors. So when the world tells us that we need to care only about self, we can't listen to that. The world also tells us that we need to conform. You know, go with the stream. Don't go against the stream. You know, if we say, you know, homosexuality is okay and drinking is fine and all of this stuff, well, don't go against the stream. Don't cause a big panic. We can't listen to that. What does Paul say in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12? He tells us not to be conformed to this world. See, the world has its own standard for how people should live. And sometimes we're going to have to violate the king's commands, so to speak. Nebuchadnezzar is exactly right. If we're serious about serving God, if we want to make it to heaven, we've got to trust in God. And sometimes we have to violate the king's command. But that's not all he says. Go back to Daniel chapter 3. Read verse 28 again. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 28 again. King Nebuchadnezzar says, God delivered his servants who, one, put their trust in him, two, violated the king's command, and three, who yielded up their bodies so as not to serve or worship any god except their own. See, King Nebuchadnezzar understood that the boys' decision that they made on that day could have cost them their lives, could have cost them their bodies, right? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego understood that also. We've read this a couple of times, but let's read it one more time, starting in verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king." You see, they trusted in God. But notice the next verse. "But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up." See, the boys here had made up their mind, even if the Lord didn't save them, they're going to obey him anyway. You know, I believe that they understood that ultimately God was going to deliver them one way or another, whether it's on this side of life or the other side of life. They were going to have deliverance. Let me just say, it's probably unlikely that we are going to go through the same exact situation as those three boys, right? We live in America, you know, land of the free. We have religious freedom to practice whatever religion we like. So it's unlikely that we will have to literally give our lives for the Lord. But we are still called to give our lives to God. You remember the rich young ruler, Mark chapter 10? You remember him? He was doing good. You know, he approached the Lord. You know, what do I need? He was doing good, but there was something that he was lacking, right? He was too obsessed with his possessions. He didn't want to give up his possessions. Are we like this sometimes? Maybe we're doing good in A, B, and C, but D, E, and F, no, that's too far for me. I won't do that, right? You know, I come to church every Sunday, but Super Bowl Sunday, come on, guys. It's a little too much. Come to church on Sunday and Wednesday, and you want me to visit the sick? I'm drawing the line. Right. Maybe we do good, A, B, and C, maybe even D and E, but we draw the line somewhere, and we won't sacrifice that part of our lives for God. You know, the blessings and freedoms that we have in America can sometimes blind us to our spiritual needs, right? We spend so much time on the new phone or the new TV, driving the new boat or driving the new car, that we forget that our lives belong to Christ. Turn over to Revelation chapter 2, please. Revelation chapter 2, we're going to read verse 10. I believe in this context, Jesus is talking to the church in Smyrna. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, and he is talking to the church of Smyrna. Jesus says, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Listen now. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." Jesus is urging the church in Smyrna here to be faithful until death. And we miss the meaning of this sometimes because we live until like 90, right? For us, this means be faithful until 90 and I pass away and I'll be given a crown of life. That's not necessarily what it meant for these people. Now, these people were dying. Jesus is saying, be faithful even if it means dying, and you will receive the crown of life. Jesus is asking them, I want your life. I want you to give over your life to me. And notice with me that as we read that verse, that's exactly what Jesus did for us. He was faithful, even though it meant dying for us, right? Now, King Nebuchadnezzar hit the nail right on the head with this sermon, so to speak. You know, he preached it in about 1 minute. I'm at 28 minutes right now, so I guess I expounded on it a little bit, but he hit the nail on the head. If we're serious about making it to heaven, we've got to trust in God. Sometimes we can't listen to the voices around us. We're going to have to violate the commands of those people. And we've got to yield our bodies. This is exactly what the three boys did and what happened to them. Well, they avoided the fire. They avoided punishment. Well, if we want to avoid the fire and avoid punishment, we need to make sure that we're living just like those three boys. Talked a little bit about Jesus, Revelation 2:10, how he was faithful, even though it meant dying, right, for us. We should live in a manner that is worthy of that sacrifice. Maybe there is someone here tonight who isn't living that way. Maybe there's someone here tonight who needs to renew their trust in the Lord, right? Maybe there's someone here tonight, on the other hand, who wants to start their walk with Christ, who wants to enter into a relationship with Christ, being baptized into his death. Well, whatever you need, we can accommodate you right now as we stand and as we sing.